Escape now while you can. Okay, thank you for that, guys, and thank you for inviting me back. Lovely to be here again amongst you all, and it would be great to see you in the sunshine as well, which is, it's quite nice actually, isn't it? Nice to see. So my name's Christian, as you possibly know, probably know already, a lot of you do, and I work in Tewkesbury School, so I think that's possibly one of the major links here. As a maths teacher, I have been there for about 15 years now. I used to have a head of hair when I started. Can you believe that? So that's an advert for teaching, if ever there was one. So what we're going to do today, I want to talk to you today about something that, as I was praying, I felt was important for you guys. And I'm just going to start off with a reading from Matthew 22, which will hopefully come up here in a second, where Jesus is asked about what the greatest commandment is in the law. He says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" This is when the Pharisees are talking to him. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." I want to, obviously, today then, to talk about love. So one of the, as far as Jesus was concerned, it was the most important thing that there was. He was really, really concerned with these two things: loving him, loving others. As long as you got that sorted, you've got the lot, basically, is what he's saying within it all there. And without it, without love, Christianity is literally just a list, a dull list of rules and duties. That's it. It loses its power, it loses its motivation, it loses everything. It's love that motivates us to live a godly life. It's love that motivates us to care for those around us, which sounds great until you feel you've run out of it. I was once asked as a young Christian, "What happens when someone's annoyed you so much that you just literally can't keep on loving them?" At which my response was, "Well, you just fake it." But apparently you're not allowed to do that either. As it says in Romans, love must be sincere. Love is a real thing. It's something that's within us. And the Bible does have the answer to that. Actually, in 1 John 4, verse 7, it tells us where love comes from. Dear friends, it says, "Let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." Love isn't something that we force. Love isn't something that we fake. Love isn't something that we manufacture. It comes direct from God himself. And possibly, if you're just going to believe and hear one thing today, it would be this. It's by believing that God loves us with an unconditional passion and love, and by experiencing this love, that our hearts are filled with his loving kindness. It is by believing and experiencing that love. It is only as we come into that we are receiving direct from where love originated from in the first place. And that has to be what the crux of Christianity really comes down to being. As we live loving God and loving other people, we have to be receiving that love in the first place. Which leads me to a tremendously important question. Do we really, really, really believe that God loves us? Now, I think in your heads, you're all going to be going, "Of course you do." So not a stupid question. But it's an important question to ask, because if we truly believe it, and here's a horrible thing to say, why do so many bad things happen? If God is truly good and truly loving and truly amazing in all these ways, then what is it that causes horrible things to happen to us? We've all got our own stories, we've all got our own life experiences. And they happen. These things happen. And surely, if God loves us, he should be doing something about it. Surely he should be getting involved, getting his hands a little bit dirty. Doing something about all the rubbish that we have to deal with on a day-to-day basis, a month-by-month basis, or whatever is happening at the moment in our lives. He could make life a bit easier, I think, don't you? Some of you are looking a bit shocked at me at this point, going, "Oh my word, we're not inviting him back." But it's true, as we go through difficult times, as we experience difficult things, it's very easy to believe that God doesn't love us all of the time. Or God's not looking out for us. God's not good. And I know our heads will keep this, the right doctrine, but our hearts are completely different. Our hearts don't always keep on believing the same things. It's very, very, very easy for our hearts to believe through our experiences and our circumstances rather than from what the Word of God says. And this is where the tension is. Do we believe what the Bible says about God, or do we believe through our experience? Do we believe through our circumstances? There is a whole host of ways in which we go through life and we are constantly bombarded with different messages again and again and again. And always, always, always the question is, what are you believing? When God was creating the world, one of the things he created was the sun. He said, let there be light. And he divided the light from the darkness pretty quickly. And as a Christian, that's our job to do, to divide the light from the darkness, to divide the truth from the lies in everything that we go through. The Word of God will always tell us the truth, but experience will tell us other things at times. Circumstances will say other things. They will bombard us at different times. And they will affect our perspective of God. They will affect how we see God if we're not careful. They will affect our hearts. And how we see God, how we perceive God, is absolutely essential. Because how we see him will affect how we live. And this is something that I just wanted to have a look at. Because I could tell you that God loves you, and you know that God loves you. But it's how we see him, it's how we perceive him, that makes all the difference in the world to us actually receiving that love and truly believing it in our hearts. So if we go to John chapter 10, verse 11 to 13, Jesus starts speaking about something about himself as God, which is absolutely fundamental to our perception of him. He says the following: I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. And so what's being put out in front of you right now, or right then, was two particular perceptions of God. Straight away, am I somebody who cares? Am I somebody who lays down my life for you? Or am I somebody who doesn't care less? Who am I at this point? He's putting two particular perceptions. Sorry. So is he a good shepherd? Or is he the hired hand? You have two particular things to look at here. Two particular perceptions of God. And if we're not careful, if we don't keep coming back to the Word, all we'll do in the end is we'll look at experience. Experience, experience, experience will affect our doctrine. And in the end, that's very, very dangerous. Now, Psalms 23 also talks about a shepherd, funnily enough. And it just unpacks this a little bit more. And I'm going to read this out. Psalm 23 says this: the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So the good shepherd comes, and he cares for the sheep, and he owns them. So he has a special bond with each and every one of them individually. Each one of the sheep, each one of us, are precious to him individually. Precious beyond measure. He puts his life second in that respect. Our lives are more important. Values them before his own life. God knows us inside and out. Interested in every single part of our lives. And what affects him So what affects us affects him also. As far as he's concerned, we're the most incredibly important people. As far as he's concerned, we are incredibly valued. As far as he's concerned, we are incredibly loved. And this is one of the most important things that I consider, that he is incredibly bothered about everything that we go through. He is not an indifferent God. I used to think he was. Years back, I used to think he was sat back. I believed in him. But I think he had like these big widescreen TVs, and he just watched what happened. Pretty much not bothered about anything that was taking place. And he wouldn't, you know, because why would he get bothered? Why would he get in there? And I would pray, but I wouldn't see much happen, and I wouldn't see any change. And so I didn't think that he was concerned. But he is incredibly bothered about every single thing, and he feels all of our pain, and he feels everything that we have to go through. And he is incredibly, incredibly concerned with it all. He is proud to call us his children. Just like if you've got kids of your own and you are delighted that they're just in your family. That's the same, but magnified by an infinite amount. I can't use the number because it doesn't exist. It is an incredible, incredible way. You bring a smile to his face just by being you. Just by being you, just by being in his family, you bring a smile to his face. We're desired by him. He wanted one of us, so he made one of you. That's what you think. That's what he thinks about you. And this is important, that he's always on our side. He's always fighting for us. He's always protecting us. He's always standing up for us. I've had a bad back for the last week now. Just at night time. A bit weird. Don't really understand it. But that's what's been happening. And it's horrible. I'm waking up. I've been waking up about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'm supposed to be able to heal. I mean, I can pray for healings on other people. They get healed. But anyway, I'm praying and nothing's happening. Nothing's changing at all. And I'm in absolute agony. And but then it occurred to me, even then, that God's alongside me. Even then, God's still with it in me. I was just wandering around in the lounge, just trying to get to sleep. Just horrible situation. Thinking, this is horrible. Absolutely horrible. But God's still there in it. Still lifting me in that situation. Even emotion, and this is important. We talked in Psalms 23 about he walked through us in the valley of the shadow of death. Emotionally, he supports us, even when we can't know it. Even when we don't feel it. This is really important. Even when you don't sense it, even when you're not like floating on the clouds, he's still lifting us up. My wife suffered with eczema years back. Now, when we were when I proposed, I think it started. That's about. Whoops. So I proposed, and her eczema really flared up, and it to the point where her skin had gone red. It literally red from head to foot. She was really, really struggling with it. And happily, when we got married, it subsided a bit. But in that year of when we were engaged, it got really, really bad. She got very stressed, and it got very, very bad. And there was a time we were together, and she's just said, "It just feels like God's not even bothered. It feels like God's not helping me in the slightest." She was just like, you know, because I'm saying, "Oh, we should pray." And she's going, "No, it doesn't feel like he's even helping me anymore." It's just, if he was bothered, he would take it away. And he could take it away, and she'd been prayed for, and nothing was happening. And it just feels like that. And in that second she said that, she felt 1,000 times worse. It was like her emotions just went and collapsed on her. And she started crying and crying and crying and crying and crying. And immediately, I think we perceived that what she'd done was saying, "God's not helping here. God's not in this anymore." And she immediately repented of that and said, "I'm sorry, God." And the peace of God, I guess it was, the peace of God at that point just came back into her heart and lifted her back to where she'd been just a few moments earlier. The point of the story is that we don't recognize how much God is helping us. We don't know. We never know, truly. And I think just for that moment, God went, "You don't really get it. This is how much I'm with you." And he just let us see, just for a minute, just for a moment, "This is how much I'm holding you up. This is how much right now. Because if I wasn't here, if I wasn't holding you up right now, this is how you'd feel." this is where you'd really be. And that, just for that moment, was enough for her to go, actually, you know what? He is walking with me. He is still alongside me. He is still here. It feels horrible. All I can see around me is rubbish. All I feel every day is just wanting to scratch and scratch and scratch, and it's horrible. And she was getting through pots and pots of eczema cream. But all throughout that horrible year, God was holding her up in her soul, in her emotions, even though she didn't know, even though she couldn't sense this amazing peace that she felt like she should be. God was in it. God was lifting her through it. God was still there all the way through that. And it's a powerful story just to say that whatever happens, even in the blackest of times, I saw this when I came in. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. And it's just that reminder. He still walks with us wherever we are. Whatever you're doing, he will meet us exactly where we are. We don't have to have it all together. We don't have to be thinking all the right thoughts. He'll still be there and he'll walk with us wherever we are, whatever we're doing. He remains faithful in everything that we do, in everything that we are. He will remain completely and utterly faithful. His love is completely and utterly unconditional and will meet us where we need him to meet us. And it's a message that I feel is very, very vital for every believer to understand, because it's as we get into an understanding of the love of God that we're empowered to live a life of love. And if we're not, then it's the minute we start perceiving that God might not love us or could do more, whatever, then things get dangerous. Romans, I'm not going to put Romans 8 up because I'm running out of time, but Romans 8 says that nothing that separates us from God's love, there's nothing at all. There's nothing you can do to separate you from God's love. He's constantly pouring out his love towards us, whether you can feel it, whether you can't. These are things to believe. This is the truth, okay? I'm trying to get away from, sometimes we get into too much of experience and the rest of it. This is the truth. The truth is he's constantly pouring out his love towards us. He's constantly reaching out for us. He's constantly trying to come towards us. And these are the ways that it happens. And the more we allow that unconditional love to fill us, the more we allow him to pour through us, the more our hearts are strengthened. And effectively, the more we've got love to give out to a world that desperately needs him. Every day, I'll go out and I'll pray for God's love to fill me up. And I don't always feel amazing, but I will pray for God's love to fill me up. Because I want the people I meet to experience God. I want the people I meet. I stand in front of 30 kids at a time, so I must come in front of about 100, 120 kids every day. And I want them to experience God. I want them to experience something of his love. I want them to receive something while they're there in my classroom. I know I'm teaching maths. All right, and I know it's difficult to meet with God when there's numbers on the board. But at the same time, I really, really desire, and why I do the job more than anything, is that the students that are in the room are actually being impacted by God, that they're being changed somewhere inside. I had a kid start worshipping halfway through one of my lessons recently, which I thought was great. She was just singing one of her assembly songs from primary school. But, do you know, it's just little things that happen like that. And there's just times where people just start opening up. And there's one girl that said that she feels calmer when she looks at pictures of Jesus. I mean, yeah, it's brilliant. These things are good. These things are good. People are experiencing something there. But it's important more than anything to me that in the world that we live in at the moment, where people are not even aware of God, that us, as we go out, we make a difference. We make a huge difference because we're the way that they will meet with God. We're the way that they will receive God's love. As we love them, then they will receive God's love through us. And that's really, really important. Every smile, every conversation you have can be absolutely soaked with God's grace. And you can turn people's lives around with that. You can change people. We can impart something of God into a grace-starved world every time we go into a conversation with someone, every time you pass somebody in the street, because you don't know what's going on in their world. You don't know what's happening. And as we go past them, as we smile, as we say hello, it's all very polite in Twinning. I noticed that as I was coming. Everyone was very smiley and hello, good morning, and all the rest of it. But, you know, you don't know what's going on. You don't know what's going on the surface. They may need that smile. They may need that hello. They may need that, you know, you don't know what's happening. And as God meets with them, we're softening their hearts more and more to receive of his love and to receive of the truth. There's a brilliant, brilliant... I think somebody said once, and I should know who said it, but it was just preach the gospel at all times and if necessary use words, which I think is brilliant, you know, because that's it, isn't it? It's a lifestyle. That's Christianity. It's a lifestyle. And that's how it's to come out. So I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop talking at this point. There, I've said what I've said. Really, that it's not rules. It's love, and it's letting God's love shine through it. But to start with, it's believing in the first place that he actually does love us. It's having that right perspective that no matter the circumstances, and yes, they can be horrible at times, no matter the darkness, and yes, it can feel very dark at times, the word of God is true. It says he constantly loves us, and he'll constantly lift us through those times. And so are we having one final song? Is that all right? And if you want to be prayed for, then I would absolutely be delighted to pray with you about any of that. If I don't know all of you here, a lot of you look familiar, but I do. I do like to always say and offer out if you don't know Jesus, then please come to the front again. We can pray if you would like to come to know him, and if you would like to come back to him, if you'd like to recommit your life to Jesus, then we would love to pray for you about that as well, and just to bring yourself back into relationship with him. But the things that were on my heart, and you can be prayed for absolutely anything, were the following. Emotional stuff was there's people feeling heavy here in their soul, feeling heavy, feeling like life is a drag, feeling very, very much like they're suffering through life at the moment. If that's you, then I'd love to pray for you. If you just need, I say just, I should never say just, if you need a refreshing, if you need to be refreshed with God's Spirit, then please come to the front. I'd like to pray with you for that. A reminding of God's love. I mean, I guess everyone would say yes to that in one respect, but if you think, yeah, that's really me, I really need that fresh reminder, I've really not been in that, then that would be great. A reminder of his hope, or maybe just your joy back in your Christian lifestyle, then please come to the front. On the physical side, again, I'll pray for absolutely anything I've got here. The words that came to me were pain with legs, pain with back, and pain in breathing. Those are the things that God was giving me, but I will happily pray for absolutely anything that you desire. So I have given out a whole list. If you want to play on the ivories or whatever, then that would be great. But we'll just pray. God, we just thank you for your goodness and for your love. We ask, Lord Jesus, that today you'll remind us that just how much you love us. You'll remind us, Lord God, that you're with us in everything that we go through. And Lord Jesus, that you'll help us and empower us to live a life of love. Amen.